Mandy
Hello.
Caldwell and Freddie's Paul.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm, just running on some adrenaline and caffeine.
That works. That
Yep.
works.
Yep. So Saturday was crazy.
Yeah.
Have you seen all about well, we'll talk about it in a minute, but the Texas Georgia stuff.
We were at the Vandy game, so didn't watch any of that game. But have read, have obviously seen some
Yes.
stuff on social media.
I gave up on the game, went to sleep, and woke up to some very hateful texts from my Georgia fans talking about how, they had won. But I
Not
didn't know about the
listen,
other
and you
stuff till the next day. So anyway, we'll talk about all that in a minute. College game day was, it did not disappoint yet again. I don't know. So all the men are very fashionable. Very fashionable. Kirk Herbstreit is dressed very well every week. Even Lolli Corso, they're all great. Desmond Howard is a fashion plate. I love his wardrobe and his suits and his pocket squares. And then we get to Pat, and his jeans were so tight this week. And I
I
was
did.
like,
My sister did turn on game day for a minute.
oh.
And how could you see his jeans for his hat?
Well, there's the hat and the belt buckle.
I didn't see that.
Like, all things are pointing to overcompensation. He did have on a very nice jacket. I will say that. Like, I liked his jacket, and I love a look with jeans and a jacket. I think that's perfectly fine. But let's not do overly tight ripped jeans. Like, you're past that age, sir. And then I was watching the Texas game, which we'll talk more about in a minute. And Steve Sarkisian, you can't fit a pencil in those pants that he wears on the field with him. I mean, Lord have mercy. Like,
So are
go up a size.
is men's fashion behind women's fashion in that they're not wearing barrel jeans and wide leg baggy jeans?
Right. Yes. Apparently, they're all wearing skinny pants and stretchy tight pants.
Was thinking today, I don't know what to, I don't know what to wear anymore. I don't know what pants to wear. I don't know what shoes to wear with the pants. I wear the pants that I think I'm supposed to wear, and I don't necessarily like the way I look in the pants. I'm just at a loss right
Yeah.
now.
Yes, I would agree with that. Pants are hard.
Yeah.
Pants are
So, I
hard.
mean, maybe the men are feeling the same thing, and they're
Maybe.
just opting for the tight pants.
If it had stopped there, I would have been all right. But then Pat had to put some chaps on and roll around on the floor.
Oh, for the love.
And I was like, I'm done. I'm done. Pat, get up
Well,
off the
again, I
floor.
read, somebody was talking about, I started listening to a podcast about sports media. This guy named Jimmy Traina, who works for Sports Illustrated, and it may have been his podcast. And they were talking about Pat, and they were like, he's not for us. He's not meant to be for us. He's meant to be for the younger demographic to attract them in. So I think maybe we just need to accept that fact that he's just not meant for us. We're not going to understand what he's doing.
Yeah, it's like he gets so close and then he just falls off the deep end. So, yeah. So that was fun. And then, Corso was back, which I was glad to see. I love an old man, but y'all, his speech has gotten so bad that even the other fellows don't understand him and he legit needs subtitles. But I don't think that the subtitles would work for him because he's so slurred. And it makes me sad.
Yeah.
However, comma, I think it's time.
Yeah. We've had that conversation before.
We have. And then I felt bad because he got on there for his, you know, 1,000th pick or whatever it was. And he was like, I just really appreciate ESPN hanging in there with me through my stroke and being so good to me. And it made me cry. And I was like, well, now I feel like crap. I said it was time for him to go, but now it really is. Like, you can't even understand him now.
That's
like none of it.
There's ESPN has a Baseball Tonight podcast. And there's a woman who has been a regular on it, you know, forever. And she's like in her early 30s. She's a total like statistician, sort of numbers nerd, but she's able to take that data and like translate it into an interesting story. So yeah. She's very compelling. She was diagnosed with ALS about, gosh, it's probably been 3 or 4 years ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so like every season, it's sort of like they didn't announce that she had it until I think last year. And then, or maybe it was the year before, like when the playoffs started, like the end of the season.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. Like it's just getting harder and harder to mm-hmm. understand her. And so you hate to be like, it's time, but also like, it's just like, I can't understand what she's saying.
Yeah. And anyway, he can't travel across the country anymore either. Like it, I mean, bring him out once a season or something and celebrate him or whatever. I mean, find some way, but it's time to let the every week headgear thing go.
Yeah.
It just is. And then Scotty Scheffler was the guest picker and he had his green jacket on and his FedEx Cup trophy with him. And he's so cute. And then they went to picking games. And they got to the Miami-Louisville game, and he said, no offense to the people of Louisville, but I will not be picking them. And everybody just died laughing.
That's where he got arrested, y'all.
Yes, that is where he was arrested. Anyway, it was just really funny, and Pat was like, why would you not pick Louisville there, Scotty? And I was like, okay. But it was really cute. He did a good job. He obviously knows sports and is a big sports fan anyway, so it was a good pick. I still don't think he'll beat Miss Terry, who is still top of the list, so that was good.
There you go.
And then the game started. Auburn was first at 12 o'clock because, you know, that's the place where schools go to die in their TV coverage. And once again, it took one play and you could legitimately see our players deflate. And, you know, it happened with that interception a couple weeks ago. They were doing great. They were ahead. It was a third quarter or fourth quarter. He had not thrown an interception all game. It was doing so well. One interception, one mistake, and you could watch their shoulders sag. The same thing happened again. We were doing all right. We were doing just fine. We might not have won, but we were doing okay. And Magoo was Magooing, and he missed a, like, 31-yard field goal. Like, you have one job, kid. And you could see a change in the entire team.
As Boo Mama would say, Sophie would say, it sounds like they need some leadership.
Well, that was what I was going to say. That, I don't think, has anything to do ultimately with the players. That is coaching.
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot inspire your team enough to come back after one missed play,
right?
What are you doing?
Because listen, y'all, life's all about making mistakes.
Right? Well, of course, in the press conference this week, Mr. Escort Freeze not only blamed the players, he blamed the other coaches now. So there's a bus that he's driving over everybody now. So I'm, you know, I was real sad about it on many levels. I mean, we lost the game, obviously, but I just, those sweet boys, I mean, they're all teenagers.
Right.
Those sweet kids are just deflated. And I feel so bad for them because they're not that bad. I did see a stat that said outside of the Georgia game, we were like, until the third quarter in every other game, we had like an 89% chance of winning. And we have blown a lead in 4 of the 5 losses that we have.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, that's bad. That's coaching. It's got, I mean, you can't, anyway. So he's blaming everybody else as usual. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. We've got quite the gauntlet. We have Kentucky, and I'm worried about Kentucky this weekend.
Yeah, Kentucky's not what it used to be, you know?
I know, right? Alabama went to Tennessee and lost.
Well,
I don't know. I had mixed emotions about it, but here's what I did like about it. The referees found a way to penalize a fake injury.
That's it.
So, a kid was running off the field and a new player was coming on and the coach shoved him on the field and pointed to him to get down and he dropped to the ground and they called illegal substitution. So they found a way to punish him. And of course everybody booed and booed and booed and spent the clip is out there. You can see the coach, you know, pointing to the ground.
Yeah.
So I was really glad that they, found a way to do that. Also, the next play, the Alabama player, like on their D line, was standing over the ball, like standing basically on top of it, so they couldn't start the play, like purposefully.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There may not be a way to call that delay a game, but I was just like, come on. I mean, it's Alabama, so it's Alabama, but. Is this what we're going to be doing now between this and Ole Miss? Is this how we play football?
Apparently.
I just don't get it, but whatever. And then the last game of the night was that Texas-Georgia game, which was totally unhinged. Texas O-line got beat every single play. And I don't know how that happened after they'd been doing so well. And they are all as big as a door. Like every one of those O-linemen is as big as my front door. They're huge boys. And so they just got run the heck all over. So Texas lost. But the thing was, officiating again, we've talked about this on here before, that the officials this season are just not what they used to be. And I'm sure everybody's seen the clips. They called a pass interference when it really was not. And the Texas student section threw beer bottles or cans on the field. And miraculously, they reversed the call.
They reversed the call.
That's why they're penalizing them so much, because they're afraid that every call from now on that nobody likes, they're going to throw crap on the field,
right,
and stop play, and, you know, thinking they can get it reversed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're like hunting down Texas students with video and canceling their student passes to any sporting event for the rest of the school year.
Good, they should.
They should. I agree, they should. But, like, also the refs can't overturn a call based on the crowd participation.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We were at the Vandy game in person, and I don't remember a single penalty. I'm sure they called some, but like I don't remember one. Like there was nothing that was like, you know, game changing.
Yeah.
We were just flabbergasted. They weren't calling any penalties.
And over in Austin, they were calling everything a penalty.
Yeah, that's wild.
It was crazy. So there's been a lot of backlash, even from Georgia. I mean, Georgia's spoken out about it. Like, we can't have this. Like, this cannot be a thing where people get angry and throw shit on the field and all of a sudden they review it and overturn it just because the audience didn't like it. I mean, that's not a place we can go.
Right.
So, I mean, it's been interesting. So that's really the main things that happened Saturday. I know we'll hear more about the Vandy game. They played Ball State. From Mandy and her update, because she was, as she said, there. But the only other thing that happened this week, Mandy, I don't know if you realize how much of a social influence this podcast is.
Well, I mean, only because you texted me about it.
I did text her about it, but I was like, okay, we are making changes. We got Fox Sports to change their graphics. And now we have gotten the Shirley Hills Garden Club to change the name of the Halloween party from the Wiener Roast to a hot dog cookout. Praise the Lord.
Well done, Katie. Well done.
There we go. I don't know if it was us or not, but I know a bunch of people complained about it. Like, it's time. It's time to change it. So anyway, it's now a hot dog cookout, and I would love to be there. I love that little tradition. Maybe in the future I can get back to it. It was so much fun. Gogi loved Halloween. It was, and she lived in that neighborhood. It was her favorite holiday. And this is the most Gogi Halloween. I should probably save this for next week. Anyway, I'll go ahead and tell it because it will be after Halloween. She, I swear to you, got a silver tray out and laid out individual pieces of candy in rows on a silver tray. And the children would come ring the doorbell. And there she would be with her silver tray. And you were allowed one piece.
Of course you were. Listen, Gogi ain't playing.
Gogi ain't playing. On a silver platter.
Of course.
Oh my God, that woman. I loved her so much. Like, she was legendary in the neighborhood for it too. It was so funny. They all loved it. Yeah, and she loved the little kids coming over, you know. They would, a lot of times when they would walk the neighborhood, it's a very walkable neighborhood, the little children would love to stop by if Gogi was in the yard and help her dig in the dirt a little. And, you know, she would sit and talk to their parents. So, I love that neighborhood very much. I'm very glad that they do not have a wiener roast anymore.
Well done.
Well done. So, Mandy, how was Nash Vegas?
Nashville was good. I thought I would never get there.
Right?
My original ETA on Waze was 4:45. And I rolled in there at like 7 o'clock. No lie.
My eyes are bugging out of my head, y'all.
It was awful. I guess it was fall break traffic, because both Birmingham and Nashville were on fall break. I thought it wouldn't be so bad on Friday afternoon as opposed to Saturday.
Yeah.
But it was awful. Awful.
Where was it awful? The whole way?
Oh, it was awful the whole way.
And what it interstate was fun did
once
you take?
Once I got to Huntsville, north of Huntsville was
so
fine.
65, you go up 65?
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it was awful the whole way. It was awful. But anyway, so then I made it, but I got there late, so that meant I missed the fall baseball game. I was too
right.
But Julie came home very excited about Vanderbilt baseball, so we shall see.
If Julie's happy, everybody's happy, right?
She was most excited about a guy he'll be a sophomore this year. She was most excited about the state of his quads and glutes.
He has
been doing some work in the weight room, and my sister appreciated it.
How did she know? Did he also have tight pants on?
Okay,
there we go.
It is baseball.
That's true.
He was wearing baseball pants.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love the tight pants theme.
But yeah, so that was, you know, once I made it, it was fine. We did go to a Pilates class on Sunday because I convinced my sister to start doing Pilates, even though I'm no longer doing Pilates. She's also going to a club Pilates. And so she had signed us up for a class on Friday afternoon, which obviously I missed because I was stuck in the traffic.
You're stuck in traffic.
So she signed up for a different one. And she, when she was signing up, I heard her say, oh, it's a cardio. And I went, oh God, I hate that class. And she's like, it's fine. It's fine. Well, then when I looked, because they sent me a confirmation, not only was it a cardio sculpt class, it was a 1.5.
What does that mean?
So they have 1.5 and 2 are the levels of the classes. And so you have to like be approved to even do a 2. So, I mean, I took Pilates for a couple of years at Noonan, but then I went to Club Pilates for almost a year and I only did like maybe 2 1.5 classes. And the whole time I was doing Club Pilates, and my sister just, you know, signing up willy nilly for a 1.5. The difference in those classes is like when you're doing a 1 and you're like doing something and then they're going to transition you to a different exercise, they'll usually like you stop and then they'll explain what they're doing.
Take a breath.
With a 1.5, you don't stop. You just go from one to the other. Well, let me tell you, I was stopping. Even still, like when the first time I stood up, my legs were like jelly. I was like, oh my God. But anyway, we did
I'm
it.
Glad you didn't die.
I did not die. We did it. Then we went and got a smoothie bowl.
Okay.
They're just so healthy. And when we stopped to get the smoothie bowl, we parked on the other side of the street from where the smoothie place is. And one of my sister's patients has a little shop right there. It's not far from, it's sort of tied in with HCA headquarters.
Okay.
And they have sort of developed this area pretty recently. And it's almost like, prefabricated buildings, you know, that are all sort of in a row, but they're fun, interesting sort of little shops that are all together. And so Julie's patient has a shop that's sort of like gourmet food products, and then she has a refrigerated case, and so she has some like local stuff in there. So anyway, we were just kind of checking everything out, and then all of a sudden, because I think I've said before, if you want to see famous people, you should just hang out with my sister. All of a sudden, my sister goes, that's Sean. Is it Sean Johnson? Her name is leaving.
Yes.
Sean Johnson. That's Sean Johnson, the Olympian. And I was like, turn around and look. And sure enough, all 4 feet of her.
Of Sean all Johnson. The category of people for you to find outside of music, Olympian... Olympic gold medalists in gymnastics.
Right.
I was so jealous of Annie texting me. I didn't tell her that. I just acted like I was excited for her, which I was. But let me tell you how jealous I am.
And so, of course, she was talking to the girl working at the counter looking for stuff or whatever. And then she was looking in the refrigerated case, and Julie was over there. And Julie was like, I just have to tell you, we're huge fans.
Huge fans.
And if she had not done it, I was going to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we chatted her up and she was very nice.
She could not tell the minute you walked in the door and recognized her that she
would. Our face did not convey quite the impression that yours did when you met Dante.
Oh my God.
Oh boy. But anyway, and then we went to the clinic because my sister's clinic's right there. So we went for her to look at my ears. So she was like, she looked at both of them and she goes, okay, which one is it that's bothering you? Because they're both full of fluid. I was like, so anyway, she got me some samples of some stuff, fra la la. We shall see. But then we went home, took a little rest, and then headed to the Vandy tailgate. She, you know, she was a swimmer, so she's in the black and gold club. And so they were having a big tailgate over on the practice field. So that was fun. And then went to the game and sat, like, we have black and gold club seats. So it's like all the former athletes are all up there together, which is fun. And it was the only other games I can really, I'm sure I went to a game maybe when she was in college, but I don't really remember. The only other games I've ever been to are UT games, which are Thanksgiving weekend.
Right.
And we've won all those games that I've been to. You're welcome. But you those games, there are more UT fans than Vandy fans, which is sort of the norm for Vandy football games in general. But I was right proud of those Vandy fans, y'all. They had packed it out.
Love it.
There was one section that had Ball State fans, and, you know, you figure those are all probably parents. Nobody else is really going to make the drive from Muncie, Illinois.
Nope.
But it was good. It was fun, and they won. So that was great. And then we headed home, got home late that night. Not late, but late for us.
Yeah.
And when I tell y'all, I was wiped out. I had forgotten my birth control pills, so I was feeling like I was about to start my period. I had done Pilates. I'm still recovering from all this. I was wiped out.
Yeah.
So we didn't do a damn thing on Sunday until we got out of our pajamas in time to get dressed to go to the Ryman. So got to the Ryman, saw Kim Ritchie, who I have talked about before.
Yes.
And I can't remember if I told the story on here that she was at Songwriters Festival probably 10 years ago. And I had volunteered, because if you volunteer, you get free tickets. And Jason was playing on Saturday afternoon on the main stage. He wasn't a headliner, but he was playing on the main stage. And so that's why I had volunteered, so I could get free tickets for Saturday.
Duh.
And this Southeastern had just come out, and I listened to Southeastern so much. And then I, you know, so I'm like, well, who is singing that harmony? I wonder who that is. And I look it up, and it's Kim Ritchie. She sang a lot of the harmonies on Southeastern.
Love it.
So when I was working a venue Friday night, just down the road, and she was performing there. And so then I was, you know, helping her do all her stuff, get her what she needed, whatever, whatever. And I said, you know, Kim, my sister used to date so-and-so, who was the assistant to the president of Mercury Records. And that was her record company at the time. And I was like, and he gave us copies of Bittersweet, your new album, when it came out. And I said, so we have been big fans ever since. And she totally remembered the guy that my sister dated. Like, she was just as she could be. And I said, well, you know, Jason Isbell singing tomorrow afternoon. I think you should jump up on stage with him and sing those harmonies with him. She just laughed. She's like, you're crazy. I'm like, no, I'm serious.
No, I'm serious.
It would be awesome. And then the next day, when she came to watch Jason's set too. She saw me. She was like, hey. And I'm like, go on, get on, get ready, get up there. And she
knows ya.
Well, y'all, let me just tell you what happened Sunday night. They brought out an extra microphone, and Kim Ritchie sang with Jason the two songs that she sang harmony with on Southeastern. So not only did I get to hear that live, I got to hear Relatively Easy, which is one of my very favorite songs that he very rarely plays. So it was just
so wonderful. Not only did we get the name change from a wiener roast, but 10 years later, you got Kim Ritchie to do what you told her to do. Look, we're influencers, honey.
And you know who was in the balcony?
I was going to ask, because Blair and John T, and I think their son was with them too, were all there. Did you see them? Did you hunt them down?
I didn't see that they were there until after concert. So.
I should have texted you. I almost did, but I didn't want to bother you.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I was hoping you had the trifecta.
I did not have the trifecta. Just a double.
Just the double.
Yeah. But so that was fun. And it was a good concert. I had not seen you know, since all the turmoil of the divorce. But then in addition, so Jason's bassist forever and ever has been one of his best friends from growing up, Jimbo Hart. And they had recorded his most recent album, Weather Vanes, but they had not released it. And I mean, they had released it, but they hadn't started touring on it. And before they started touring, Jimbo went into rehab. And when Jimbo got done with rehab, he did not come back to the band.
Yeah.
So between Jimbo being gone, they have added another drummer. But he's not just a drummer. He's primarily a drummer, but he also plays the guitar. And then, of course, you know Amanda. And she would usually play his Ryman shows with him.
Yeah.
So it was a different vibe, but it was good. It was good. Yeah. I enjoyed it. He had lasers. Whoever thought you would see lasers. I thought it looked
very produced.
It wasn't overly produced, but okay, it was certainly a whole lot more produced than it was 10 years ago.
Well, somebody's got to make up for Amanda not being there, so I guess it's lasers.
Lasers,
instead of a fiddler.
Yeah. So, that was fun. And then I got up and drove back home yesterday. Freddie Freeman did well on our adventure, so that was good.
Good.
He did better than our real Freddie Freeman, who missed two games in the NLCS with his bad foot. Had my mother texted me yet when we recorded?
Yes,
last
about week? The paw.
Yeah, and I didn't know if she was talking about the dog or the player. Yeah,
because literally, I know more than one Freddie Freeman dog. So when you say paw and Freddie Freeman, I'm telling you, who knows which one it is, even.
Right. But in spite of Freddie missing two games, the Dodgers have clinched and the Yankees have clinched. So as they said on the Baseball Tonight podcast yesterday, it's Godzilla versus King Kong.
Which I love that visual. And it's bi-coastal.
It is the second and third largest payrolls in Major League.
So I have a question for you about that. I thought about that because, you know, originally we thought maybe it was going to be a Subway Series. Mm-hmm. However, now it's literally the total opposite of the Subway Series. It's cross-country series. Are they going to build in more days for travel? Do they have to do that, or they're just going to have to get over it?
No, it's always – so the Dodgers have home field advantage, include – like they have had it this whole time. They will have it for the World Series. So it'll be the same thing. It's a best of seven. So it'll be two games in LA, three games in New York, two games in LA, and they'll have an off day to travel. And I think it's just one day, maybe two, but I think it's just one day when they travel.
That's tough by coastal.
They're used to it.
I know. I just remember when I traveled when I was working for the Lizard. I was fine to go for several days up until that very last time zone.
Yeah.
And that was just one too many. It just...
I have a hard time going to the West Coast. I get real jet lagged. And they will say, typically what they say is that first game for the East Coast team is hard.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard Tom Glavin talk about that. And they'll go ahead and fly the starting pitchers out. They'll usually send them out. You know, if they're not going to pitch in these games, they'll go ahead and send them so they can go ahead and get adjusted and get ready. So we'll see. I'm definitely rooting for the Dodgers.
Well, Mookie, Freddie, all our people, Shohei. When does it start? What's the date of the first game?
I think the first game's not till Friday. Sorry, y'all.
Friday.
Yeah,
girl.
I forgot.
No,
I forgot
shame.
I forgot to tell y'all when I woke up yesterday. Went downstairs to tell my sister goodbye, and she looked at me and she said, "What is happening to your face?" I was like, "I don't know. What's happening to my face?"
Mandy.
Beet red. With hives coming down my neck.
Mandy.
Yeah. So I'm on Zyrtec. So sorry. I didn't mean to yawn in everybody's ear. But yeah, okay, so yeah, the things to watch. It's the Dodgers have Gerrit Cole, who is a great pitcher. Like he's not going to win Cy Young this year, but he's like their ace. And he's been sort of having a good game and then a not so good game. But they have Gerrit Cole, who's a great pitcher, and then they have another couple of starters who are, you know, good. The Dodgers have been having to do bullpen games because like half their starting pitchers are injured. And so the good news is our Vandy boy, Walker Buehler, pitched his ass off. You want to talk about tight pants? Walker Buehler wears the tightest pants in the MLB.
I'm here for him.
And Walker was doing really well. And then he had to have another Tommy John surgery, not the end of last year, the end of the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried to come back last year for the postseason and didn't, and then didn't even start the beginning of this year, then started and then had a hip issue. So he's just been overcoming a bunch of injuries and he just has not been himself.
Yeah.
But the last game he pitched was fire. So that's good news for the Dodgers because they could use some starting pitching because they've been having to do bullpen games.
Okay.
And so that's sort of going to be the thing is, will the Dodgers offense, and Mookie has started doing a whole lot better. But you know, you got to love baseball because the MVP of the NLCS was Tommy Edman, who got traded to the Dodgers at the trade deadline from the Cardinals because the Dodgers really needed a shortstop. Right? Like he's sort of just this utility guy, and he ends up being the MVP of the NLCS because he just kept getting hits, kept getting people home. So the question will be, can the Dodgers offense out hit the Yankees? I mean, isn't that always the question in baseball? But can they do it to a level that will overcome their lack of good? So, now the Yankees have, you know, obviously they have Juan Soto, who I love. He won a World Series with the Nationals when he was like 12 years old. And then he got traded to the Padres and then to the Yankees this year.
Yeah.
And so they've got Soto, they've got Judge. And then the MVP for the ALCS was Giancarlo Stanton, who 1,000% looks like a Disney villain, most especially when he's in the box. His face, something about the look on his face is very sort of Gaston.
Oh.
Yeah, he's nice looking. Every time that man got a hit in the ALCS, it was a home run.
Uh-oh.
So they've got some big boppers over there too.
Yeah, well, and Aaron Judge, I mean, makes up for all of them, even if they didn't.
It should be a fun series. It should have a lot of offense, which is usually more fun to watch than pitchers do.
And I assume that our friend Freddie is back after his foot injury.
Here's hoping. He did not play in game 4 or game 6 of the championship series.
So I
think he probably didn't play in game 6 because I think they sort of felt okay about things at that point. And so they were just letting him rest.
Well, that's what I was about to say. They have like the best staffs for this kind of stuff. But
yeah, the Dodgers especially.
Yeah, we need Freddie on first base.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So so that's your baseball update. I'm trying to think of anything else. Y'all should be on the list. Any fun stories? I'll tell you who else is fun on the Dodgers is Kike Hernandez. He's just a fun guy to watch. He likes to dance. He likes to twerk. He's the one that when Ken Rosenthal was interviewing him, he looked, he Ken asked him, what's the difference in this Dodgers team and the previous teams who were also like the Braves and
yeah,
lost out in their first round. And he looked around for a minute and then he looked at Ken and he said, are we live? And Ken said, yeah, we're live. And he said, because we don't give up.
Oh, that's the kid. Okay. So I was just sitting here trying to think, you know, Mandy, I do everything you tell me and your favorites. And I started listening to Mookie Betts and I couldn't remember if he was one of the ones I had heard. That's why I was sitting here trying to think. I don't think so. If he'd ever interviewed him, I haven't. So. I think I was thinking of somebody else that was on that had been traded away from the Dodgers that sounded kind of like that. But anyway, I can't wait because he was really funny. He was so like, he had great timing with that. He was so hesitant and then he would just dropped it.
And he's another one of those guys who, you know, is a real sort of average, below average player all year. And then when the playoffs come, he catches on fire. And those are just fun to watch. Those guys are, so TK's another one you can look out for. I will say I have seen some prices for World Series tickets.
Oh, ridiculous.
Lord have mercy, y'all.
Well, I mean, it's not just that they're big markets. It's that they're both celebrity overridden teams and towns.
I mean,
and woo. Yeah, so you got to get past, you got to have enough money to get past that level of buying power.
Yeah. So good luck.
It'll be fun to watch. I'm sure our friend Jason Bateman will be there, Mr. Dodger fan that he is. Right. By the way, if you have not listened to Smartless with Tim Walz from this week, it is precious.
I have not, but I will put that on my to-do list. It is
precious.
I will listen to it.
So precious.
Okay, Katie, talk to us about your food.
So, Mandy, I have a lot of notes in my food, but I promise they're just little quick hits of things. I told y'all last week I bought Caro Chambers' What to Cook When You Don't Feel Like Cooking, because I felt like that was my spirit animal saying of right now. And I don't buy many cookbooks. I have a lot of family cookbook stuff, but I don't buy new cookbooks because you can find them all online, right? You can find every one of these recipes. And even this cookbook, maybe you can find online too. But what I like about, there's so many things I like about it. I highly, highly recommend if you're a mom with a bunch of kids that doesn't have a lot of time, if you're a working single girl with no time at all or no, you know, Mandy and I both talk about how we get into ruts where we're like, I don't know what I feel like doing, so I'll just do some butter noodles. This kind of thing, this kind of book is the perfect thing for us. And so I read it like a novel and I took some notes on things that I really liked about it. And then I also last night made one of the recipes. So here we go.
Awesome.
Here we go. So it's divided by time. So say like, I know my crazy week, I've got a bunch of meetings say on Tuesday. So I only have 30 minutes. Well, I can look in here and order my food and know that I've got a recipe that's only going to take me 30 minutes to cook. If I've got more time, then I can look toward the back of the book. I just really like that it's divided that way because it helps you plan your week out if you're really busy one week. I also like each, that. Well, there's several, I think it may be by section, but each section has a page or two in it that say, that's called Other Tricks You Can Perform With. And it gives you really quick, easy things that you can that you can make with one ingredient. So it's things like rotisserie chicken, Hawaiian rolls, ramen noodles, and it'll give you 3 or 4 ideas of things you can do with them that are really quick and really easy. So I love that about it. In fact, I've got my eye on some rotisserie chicken sliders that look delicious. Every recipe also has ways to adjust it. So say you really love this 30-minute recipe, but you've got like 3 growing boys at home and a little piece of salmon and some broccoli is not going to do it. So then it gives you ways to beef it up to make it more bountiful for your people. You could, it gives you tips on substitutions, tricks, knowledge about the ingredient, if it's something you can use other places. So every recipe just helps you navigate. If you don't have this, you can use that. Just it's just very helpful outside of just the simple recipe.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because she does that on her Substack.
Yes.
She'll always be like, you know, have a kid that doesn't like chicken.
Yep.
Then you can use this or this or this. Yep. Or, yep.
So sometimes they're called bulk it up. That's where you make it more hearty. Learn tips, shortcuts. Who doesn't love a shortcut? So each recipe has one or two of those things with it, which I really like. The index is also very helpful. So the front index is by time. So say you only have 30 minutes. Well, you can look through and see what looks good and go there. The back is done differently. It's done by like category. So say I've got a friend coming over for lunch. Here's some recipes that would be great to cook when a friend's coming for lunch, or when you need to take a meal to a family, or one skillet, one sheet pan meals. So it's very useful in the way that you can look up and find real quick what you need, which I also liked. It's almost like it's a reference book as well as a cookbook. And, you know, a lot of times I get stuff, like I've got one over there that it's a beautiful cookbook. I love the restaurants that this person owns. But let me tell you, I open that thing up and I'm like, I ain't making that shit. There's no way. There's 411 steps, ingredients I've never heard of. This is the exact opposite of that. There is not a single recipe in this book that I don't think I can make, which makes it very accessible. And yeah. So I love that about it. So I really just, you know, if you're like me and you don't really buy cookbooks, this might be one that you want to get. It's not terribly expensive. But anyway, I loved it. So last night I made the one skillet balsamic mushroom braised chicken, and it was delicious. I made a pot of my cheesy, bad for you mashed potatoes to go with it, but I've got enough meal prep for the week. So I've got plenty of food for the whole week in the fridge, which is great. And that's why I made one of the bigger recipes, because I wanted to have something for the rest of the week. Also, it's chicken tenders, not like chicken thighs or chicken breasts. And we all know we're eating less and eating more protein. P word. Here it comes. Get your drink ready, ladies. We're eating more protein. So I like that it used chicken tenders because it was better for me to portion that way. It sounded like fall, you know? So it was just, there's something in there for every, you know, I feel like a casserole, or I feel like this or that. I mean, it's just really a wide variety of food and all very manageable.
Excellent.
So I cannot recommend it enough. My chicken was delicious.
Good.
Yeah.
And if y'all haven't followed Caro on Instagram yet, you should. She is a delightful Instagram follow.
Yes. And
she also does things like she approaches her parenting sort of the same way she approaches cooking. And she'll do things like how to raise your first like it's your third.
Oh, I love that.
Be like, you don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry about that. Nope, don't need to worry about that. Forget it. She loves to talk about the smutty novels she's reading.
Love it.
She's a fun Instagram follow.
And really, you're the one that turned me on to her, Mandy, because you had mentioned her, I think, before, and I started following her, and then you mentioned the cookbook, and it just appealed to me, and I'm so, so glad I got it. So all of us busy, busy ladies out there, I think it would be a great gift for yourself.
Good. I'm so glad you liked it.
I do. So, Mandy, tell us about your favorites.
So I have mentioned this particular podcast before. It's called Criminal.
Yeah.
And I love Criminal because it's sort of a Phoebe approaches a crime story sort of from a different perspective than most. It's not like a
Yeah.
typical true crime podcast. But this week's episode of Criminal is actually an episode of her other podcast, which I did not know she has, which is called This Is Love. And the name of the episode is Valentine, and it is sort of not a tribute. It's about her mother dying of pancreatic cancer. Her
Okay.
mother's name is Valentine. And so it sort
Stop
of
it.
it follows Phoebe's journey from finding out her mom had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer to her mom actually.
Uh-oh. I can't hear you.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
It was just a beautiful, sorry, Freddie's trying to imagine. But
Shocker.
it was a beautiful sort of exploration of dealing with a parent who's sick. You know, how do you balance everything when that happens with between your work and wanting to be with your parent
Yeah.
and then balance your parents' interest with your own and navigating sticky family situations. It's don't mind
Freddie.
Freddie.
Oh my God. So I breezed right past it apparently this week. So I've gone and downloaded it so I can listen to it later. So thank you
It
for bringing that
really,
up.
I listened to it on my never ending drive on Friday. And was like Googling Valentine's obituary, which don't Google the obituary because Phoebe's gonna read it to you eventually anyway.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to know who these people were. I wanted to know who her sisters were. I wanted to
Yeah.
know like who Phoebe's dad is. Like, yeah, the whole like it just was a beautiful, beautiful story. So highly recommend that episode. This is a random one.
No, it's
One
really
thing
not.
about what y'all need to know about me is I did not drink milk. I was allergic to milk as a child. You know, we never drank water when we were growing up, ever.
Nobody thought we had to.
The healthiest thing I ever put in my mouth as a liquid was orange high C. But other than orange high C, the only thing I drank as a child up through college into my working career in Washington, D.C., is fully loaded Coca-Cola.
Yeah, full fat Coke. I love a full fat Coke.
My college roommate Molly still does not believe me that I don't drink Coke anymore. She's like, I don't understand how you can go from drinking two cases because none. And I don't even remember when I made the transition, but yeah, I have not been a Coke. I think it was when I worked on the Hill and we
I was
had
about to say,
unlimited Coca-Cola.
if you're from Georgia, you had unlimited Coke.
But I have not, like now I drink coffee and water and alcohol.
Amen.
So something about this illness that I have had for the past month has me craving Coca-Cola. I don't know why, but I have been craving Coca-Cola. So what do you point, Matt?
Well, I was about to say, not just any Coke, right?
No, so I've been great craving Coca-Cola. So I don't buy Coke at the grocery store. We're not going back. We're not going back. We're not doing that.
Nope.
But every time I order a drink, I have not even been ordering a Coca-Cola if I'm at a place to get a drink. But I have given up, and now every time I'm at a place that has a fountain Coca-Cola, I'm just gonna go ahead and get the fountain Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And y'all, they are good.
They're so good. A full fat fountain Coke is like the biggest treat. The only, well, two things. First, my granddaddy was a soda jerk at the pharmacy in high school. And there was, he loved talking about pouring those fountain Cokes. And we drank fountain Cokes all the time because he loved them. But The only thing better to me is, and Burger King, unfortunately, is the only like fast food, like if you want to run through a place, a frozen Coke.
Yeah, no, that's a different concept.
Yeah, that's true, okay. But I drink it down just a little bit, and then I top it off with some brown liquor.
That's fine.
It makes
that's,
suburban
that's apples and oranges.
Oh, okay. I'm right.
That's apples and oranges.
I could not agree more. I love a fountain Coke.
And McDonald's has the best fountain.
The best.
Coke. Just is what it
and
is.
And fries. I mean, yeah. You can't.
So anyway, just maybe now, does it make my teeth hurt? It's so sweet. Yes, it does. It is so sweet, but I don't know, y'all. I guess I'm going back to my allergies, which I suffered from as a child. So I'm going back to my Coca-Cola.
Might
Next
as well.
thing you know, I'm going to be mainlining liquid Benadryl and Dimetapp. Just look out. Next, I wanted to tell y'all about a couple of things I bought in the Amazon sale.
Mainlining.
Flat hair clips. So they're easy, you know, like a...
I'm going to click on it. Let's see what this looks
but
like.
They're flat. And so, you know, if you're in a... You always hear the horror stories about people who are in car wrecks with like a banana clip in their hair and it like...
Yep.
Very severely injures their skull.
Yes.
These will not injure your skull. If you are going to Pilates, you could even... you know, lie down with this in your hair at Pilates and it would be fine.
They're very cute.
So I have enjoyed them and I would recommend them. I tried to link this last one. I'll try it again. It kept blowing up. I couldn't link it.
It's
called the Bigger Portable Charger. Here's why I like it.
Is it on Amazon?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It is one of those, you know, it's a little bigger. It's like, you know, it looks more like sort of a battery pack.
Mm.
But you don't need any other cables. All of the things that you need are in this thing. So
I like this.
It has a little thing that kicks out that you can plug into the wall to charge it. And then the cable that you need to charge your phone is just tucked in there. So you don't have, like, you just pick it up and go. And you're set. You don't need any other cables to charge it or for it to charge your phone. So
I have added to cart.
I'm all about it.
Love
I was at the Wells Fargo for 2 hours trying to get an account closed in the crazy estate. And I was like, I can find that for you, but my phone's about to die. The woman just whipped out one of these. And I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever.
Best thing ever.
Yeah.
By the way, this is how I think there are a lot of reasons we're friends, but when you said Wells Fargo, do you know what I thought?
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street. Oh, don't let him pass my door.
Yep, that's what I thought.
Ironically,
you're welcome for not actually singing it out loud in my voice.
One of Julie and Lewis's colleagues found us after the game Saturday night, and I can't even remember now what he said, but for some reason it triggered in him, and he's like our age, and in Lewis, who's older than us, the two of them started trading Music Man songs. 76 Trombones, the Wells Fargo Wagon. Of course, I had to pipe in with pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheep, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more.
Yep. Yes.
And now I will be singing all of those for the rest of the evening.
Well, you said Wells Fargo.
And I hate the Music Man.
Music Man, musical Tourette's, Katie.
Listen, there's some song that Darren has had us start singing occasionally before we walk into the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, sort of came by, you know, whatever. It sounds exactly like all the gold.
Stop it.
In California.
And then you can't get out of it.
is in a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills. And if you don't think Mandy Caldwell does not bust out into All the Gold as soon as we're finished singing the Kumbaya song every time.
Every time.
Did
Does
you
anybody
don't know
join you?
Huh?
They should join you.
Several people have started laughing.
Yeah.
Nobody has joined them, but...
I just want y'all to know that I refrain from singing any of that out loud. One of my best friends, her cousin is at Emory Hospital, and so she came over to chapel today, and she was sitting next to me, and I started singing a hymn, and she literally looked over and started giggling, and I was like, I told you. You didn't believe me, but I told you. It's bad.
You did dance, though.
I did. I can dance.
You did dance.
I can dance. I can't sing, but I can dance.
Well, what's going on this week, Katie?
I mean, look, try not to be too shocked.
Reading about Jesus?
Reading about Jesus. Watching college football.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go.
That's
there you
it. Next week, trying to think. This will come out Friday. Let me look at the calendar. Next Wednesday, which the episode will not be out yet for next Friday, I get to see in person for the first time one of our listeners. Birch's husband has a book out with Bitter Southerner about fishing with Jimmy Carter. And they are having, if you're in the Atlanta area, they're having a book signing at the Jimmy Carter Center. And I will be down close to there on Wednesday. And so I am going.
Good.
I'm so excited. And I accidentally bought two tickets and two books. Something glitched in their system and it charged me twice instead of calling them and being like, you know, whatever. I'm just getting two books. And a friend of mine who I always stay with when I need to be close to town, her little boy's a fisherman big time. And so I'm going to get that one for him. And she may come with me since I have an extra ticket. But I cannot wait to meet Birch in person. We were talking about it and she was like, how have we never actually met? I was like, I don't know, but we haven't. So that's going to be a great one. We'll take lots of pictures to post on the Find Your People. But it's just, this platform has been great for us, or for me. I hope for you too, Mandy, in so many ways. But part of it is that we get to meet and get to know lots of new people. So I can't wait to see Birch. And that's on the 30th. And then, of course, the 31st is Halloween. Y'all know I don't stay here. Halloween. So I'll be with Christine, who's little boy's the fisherman. And I will have my tiara on and we'll be handing out candy and drinking
Excellent.
wine.
Good.
Yay. So
Good.
anyway, that's what's going on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of Birch, I have to shout out our friend Allison, who lives in Brooklyn. I don't know if you saw on our Instagram page today that we all of a sudden had like 24 likes and
Yeah, is she finally on here like liking everything? Is she deep dive crushing on us?
She is going back and listen. She's the one that I think I sent you the screenshot of her text message where she
Yeah.
was like, "I'm high and listen
I'm listening to
to people." I was like, "This is my favorite text message ever."
ever.
Yeah, so she's been going back and listening, and she got to the John T episode
Oh God.
last week. And she's
Oh
like,
God.
"This is the best thing I've ever listened to."
It
This is
really, I'm blushing just thinking about it.
Oh my God.
It was great. It
Yeah,
was
so
so great.
shout out to Allison, who will hear this. It'll probably be 2025.
I was about to say it'd be
By the
February
time you hear
2025.
this, Allison, I hope that our future is amazing. I hope that everything is bright and wonderful in 2025 when you're listening to this.
Finally
But
listen to this episode.
I'm delighted. Your dedication is to be admired.
Yes.
No, I'm not skipping ahead. I'm listening to every episode in a row.
Oh my God, I love it.
So funny. So funny. So,
it's amazing.
Shout out to Allison.
Hey, Allison. So fun. Well, I'm I'm really looking forward to next week. I think it'll be great. I'm so proud of Jim, who wrote the book. I'm sure either Mandy or I will put it on our favorites at some point and link it, and you can get it. There are other, if you follow the Bitter Southerner, which I know that we've all told you to do, they've had several flyers on their, you know, Instagram and whatever about different places. So if you're not in Atlanta, they're doing other places as well. So if you're close by, you should go, cause they're doing like a panel with, Jim and the other writer, and with discussion questions, and, you know, they're going to ask them questions and stuff. So I can't wait. It's going to be great.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Jim tells a good story.
Yep. I hope Zoe wrote a book. And yeah, it's a beautiful book too. I love the cover. Yeah. So I can't wait to get it. But,
no, I ordered 5 copies and I had them sent here, and I was like, damn it, why did I do that? I should have had them in the same time. So
well, that's what I was going to do originally. I texted Birch. I was like, oh my God, Jim wrote a book. Like, I'll buy it and then ship it to you, and then you can ship it back to Buford. And she was like, why in the world? Just come to a book signing. I was like, oh, yes. So that's what I'm going to do. I've got 5,000 million other things to do in my life right now. But, Birch, I'm going to take time and come see you. So I'm so excited.
Good. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. I will leave the house.
Right? Oh, he was finally sleeping.
Look, let me tell you, I think we both deserve gold stars today, because Freddie has been unhinged today. And we kept it together.
If there's a theme in our lives, it's ready being unhinged.
Unhinged. Lord help.
He did not bring any packages in. He got on a kick last week with, if you have an espresso, they have a recycle program. They send you a bag and you put all your used capsules in there, and then you can just UPS it back to them. And so I had filled up a bag, so I'd set it by the door so I could take it to the UPS box. I don't know why, all of a sudden, Freddie decided he needed to start bringing that to me. Over and over.
One pod at a time?
No, the whole bag.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there we go.
But he's just a helper, y'all.
He is a helper.
If he sees something by the back door that he thinks I need, he's just going to help me and bring it in.
Yep. Flour. Sugar
helper
pods, you know. Yeah. Mr. Rogers said, find the helpers, just find Freddie
will be your helper.
Yep. How about you? Are you doing anything fun this week?
Not a cat. No, I'm not. Got nothing, which is great because apparently I'm still not over this illness, so I have to recover now from
double ear infection.
Trying to go out into the world and act like a human.
Mainline that Benadryl, ma'am.
I'm a tapping Benadryl. Look out.
That cracked me up.
Didn't mess with me.
No.
It's my cocktail of choice. And then Imitrex. Did you ever get nauseated and your mama give you Imitrex?
Imitrex.
Is that what it is? Or is Imitrex? No, it's not Imitrex. Imitrex, I think, was a migraine drug.
Oh, I remember taking Imitrex.
It tasted awful, and it was anti-nausea medicine. I was always like, this is going to make me throw up.
Yep.
And then I got to be an adult and discovered Phenergan, and my life has never been the same.
Never.
Imitrex is a migraine drug.
Oh, it is? I thought I'd taken it before. It must sound similar to something
what it's I'm called. Saying. But y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we
it's
do.
Like yellow.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway. All right.
All right, friends, y'all have a great week, and come back next week and hear all about the crazy.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.